Amazon employee Andre Woodson makes his way among yellow bins traveling through a large warehouse filled with boxes and envelopes ready to be sorted.
So our Jeffersonville, Indiana fulfillment center is about 1.2 million square feet, which is the equivalent to about 28 football fields.
Looking out across the floor, it's hard to find a human among the boxes and conveyor belts. When we do find one of the 2,500 employees at this facility, they're often working with the machinery.
So here at our ergonomic pack stations, our great associates interact with the technology to package customer orders.
There are about 20 Amazon fulfillment and distribution centers like this in Kentucky and Ohio. Some are the host town's main employer. About 20% of the workforce in Campbellsville, Kentucky, for example, works at Amazon. UPS and other product delivery services have a large presence in the region as well, and all are likely to make more use of automation. Michael Gritton is executive director at Kentuckiana Works, a nonprofit organization focused on workforce development.
We have a lot of what we call pick and pack warehouse facilities, and those facilities have a lot of people in them, but they also have a lot of computers and robots. And over time, you would expect those facilities to have fewer people and more computers and robots.
That has planners like Gritton concerned about what rapid automation could bring. A Brookings Institution report shows about one quarter of all jobs in the Ohio Valley region have a high chance of being wiped out by automation. That could lead to disruptions in employment and greater income disparity. Gritton worries that could result in more people moving to the bottom of the earning scale.
That doesn't seem to be a recipe for a happy Kentucky, a happy Louisville, or a happy America. And so that's the conversation the country's going to be having about this change as it happens.
Gritton says education is going to be key in adjusting to changes in the workforce. He says government leaders need smarter strategies to invest in people more than one time in their life.
But I think it's a big open question. Who pays for that? How does it get paid for? And why would it benefit us if the state or the federal government invested in that?
The Brookings report places Kentucky second among states with the highest share of jobs at risk from automation. Ohio comes in 13th and West Virginia is 16th. The report also shows that education makes places and people better able to adapt. Mark Muro is the lead author of the report.
You know, we call it in promoting a constant learning mindset, but it can't simply be the responsibility only of the workers. The whole system has got to change.
Muro says the way the education system is set up now doesn't encourage lifelong learning and the constant development of new skills. He says people need affordable ways to develop the skills that are uniquely human by investing time into becoming creative problem solvers and developing interpersonal skills.
Get better at being human. What we should not do is try to compete with the robots, because they will always do a better job at basic rote tasks.
Not everyone sees automation as the great risk some predict. Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says the problem with the argument that robots are coming to take jobs is that the country is creating about 240,000 jobs a month and unemployment is low.
I don't mean everything is fine by a long shot, but I think people face a lot of economic challenges that don't have all that much to do with automation and have a lot to do with just their personally weak bargaining power.
Bernstein says automation has changed jobs for those who have reskilled and made themselves complementary to the machines. He says it's the responsibility of the government to push companies like Amazon in the right direction.
And they can set the wages of their workers. They can make those jobs lousy or they can make them good. And that's a role for public policy, to basically push them pretty hard in the direction of good.
Automation has always led to disruptions in the workforce ever since agriculture was the primary occupation. The difference now is that change is happening faster.
We as a country had 140 years to move from an agricultural society to an industrial society. 140 years, we could adapt to anything with that kind of warning time. But now things are changing over a weekend.
That's Jane Oates, president of Working Nation, a national nonprofit focused on what it calls the looming unemployment crisis. She says employers should bear the responsibility of preparing workers for the future, but she says the government has a role to play as well.
When you allow federal dollars to be spent for incumbent worker training, that sends a clear message that if an employer wants to do the right thing, there are government dollars that could assist there.
That sort of proactive policy could be the difference as automation changes the workforce. Without it, it's possible that a place like the Ohio Valley could be left further behind. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.